Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. For those of you who are newer listeners, we're heard on this station Monday through Friday at the same time. And if at any point you miss a broadcast or would like to rehear one, please feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and you can click on the broadcast, and they are archived there that you may listen anytime at your convenience. But on yesterday's broadcast, we began a new message, and as I begin, I ask the listening audience a question, and that is, if you had your choice, and if you could get away for a few days, where would you like to go? Well, for some, there would be no hesitation. They'd love to go to the ocean. Or some would prefer the quiet of a desert setting. If for those of you who don't think the desert is very beautiful, well, perhaps you've not visited the desert. It can be a very beautiful place. For others, it might be a forest setting. For some, the mountains, the high mountains, or the foothills. Regardless of where you would like to be, I've been wanting to share through this message the importance of mountains in our lives as Christians. And so if you're fond of mountains, this should be of special interest to you. And so yesterday, we saw that mountains play a really important part in the lives of people, naturally, as we're going to see spiritually as well. And we know that mountains are very unique in the natural, but that's also true in Scripture. First of all, and we want to look at the functions of mountains in Scripture, they're a place of defense, security, or safety. We looked at a passage found in Psalm 125 and 2, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever." That's a beautiful description of God's protecting power and the safety that God's people can enjoy in him. And then secondly, mountains are scenes of very important events in Scripture. We looked at Mount Ararat, where the ark rested after the great flood, and Mount Moriah, which is where Abraham was requested of the Lord to sacrifice Isaac. And at the very last moment, God spared Isaac. And it was a test for Abraham when the Lord said, "Now I see that you fear God, for you've not withheld your only son." And then we looked at Mount Horeb, where Moses had his initial call from the Lord, where he saw the bush that was burning but was not consumed. And then going on, I'll give you the references, but I won't take the time to read them. Mount Sinai, you remember that in Exodus 19, 11, and 20? That's where the law was given. God used Moses to deliver his people out of Egyptian bondage. And while they were camped at the base of Mount Sinai, God called Moses up into the mountain. He was there 40 days and 40 nights, and the law was given. And then, as we go further on in the Word in Deuteronomy 11:29, and in that 27th chapter, verses 11 through 13, there were two mountains, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, and that's where blessings and curses were read. Blessings, if God's people, Israel, followed in obedience to the law that had been given them, or the bad things, the curses that would occur to them if they turned their back on the Lord and followed after other gods. And then in 1 Kings, in the 18th chapter, verse 19, remember Elijah's sacrifice, if you will, on Mount Carmel and all the prophets of Baal, and they called upon their gods and Baal to consume the sacrifice. And Elijah said, let the God that be God answer by fire. And so this was another important mountain. Then in the New Testament, there's a reference to Mount Hermon or Tabor. And of course, for those of you who perhaps know your scripture in a little more depth, we know that in the sixth chapter of Genesis, where it says that the sons of God, referring to angelic sons of God, saw that the daughters of men were fair. And because of that union, there were mighty men of renown, and there were giants in the land. Well, that's where the watchers came down and began to corrupt mankind. So Jesus, at that very point in time, he said the gates of hell, he was right at a place where the gates of hell were at the base of Mount Hermon. But that's where Jesus went up into the mount, remember, with Peter, James, and John, and that's where he was transfigured. And they saw Christ in their glory, and a voice from heaven spoke, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. So Mount Hermon, all of these mountains are very important in Scripture. And then, of course, Mount Olivet, why is that outstanding in Jerusalem, as it looks down upon Jerusalem? Well, in Acts, the first chapter, verse 12, there's a recording of Christ's ascension. And for those of you who know your word, that when Jesus returns, it's going to be Mount Olivet, where the foot of his soul will first touch down, if you will, on earth again, and he will claim earth for his own, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. Hallelujah. What a glorious event. What a beautiful future are ahead for the people of God. Whomsoever will call upon the name of the Lord, and they shall be saved. Whomsoever will may come and drink freely of the waters of life. Praise God. Well, so mountains are very important. And we know also from Scripture that mountains, because they were very special and unique, they were selected for places of divine worship. In Exodus, the third chapter, verse 12, God was commanding Moses to go to Pharaoh. And God said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. And this is, of course, before all this transpired. He said, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. If you remember, I can't give you the reference right now, but when they were gathered there, God actually called Moses and the 70 elders up, and they saw God, the God of the universe. They ate and drank in his presence, and the people of Israel all heard the voice of God. It was like a mighty trumpet blast, and they were so afraid. They said, hey, Moses, you know what? You go talk to God, and we'll listen to what you have to say, but don't let us hear God. It was too frightening, and they were afraid they're going to die because of the power and the awesome experience they had when the voice of God spoke to his people. Don't you know that's God's plan for you? And, you know, some of you are listening right now, and you say, God, I want to hear your voice. Please speak to me. I want to know clearly it's you. I want no other voice. I don't want my flesh. I don't want the voice of the devil. And you know what? The Lord just wants you to know you will hear his voice. You are hearing his voice. You may not even recognize it. I know when I was a young Christian, everybody was saying, oh, well, the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that. And I thought, Lord, what's wrong with me? I felt somehow left out. And as I prayed and as I've grown and walked with the Lord, I began to understand it wasn't just through actual words, that still small voice that Elijah experienced in the cave, but also he can just speak to us just as clearly through thoughts, through images, through the natural world around us, actually. We just need to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Well, I got off on a tangent, but those of you who have been specifically asking God, Lord, I need to hear from you, just know that his sheep hear his voice and none other will they follow. So, Father, right now I stop. And those, Lord, who are wanting a word from you, those who are seeking your face, who need to know a direction, and who need to know what door to follow, what door to go through. Lord, I thank you that you possess the key of David, and you open what no man can close, and you close what no man can open. So, Father, I ask you to make a straight way, a straight path before their feet, and they shall with an assurance and a clarity know the leading of the Lord. For the Lord would say, my beloved, fear not, for I am with you. I will not let you be turned aside. I will not let you turn in a wrong direction. You shall hear a voice behind you, gently prompting you and leading you, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Fear not the work of the enemy, for I am your God. And I know the hunger in your heart. I know your desire to walk before me in all pleasing. So be not fearful and be not afraid, for I shall lead you in a sure path because of your enemies. You shall not be turned aside to the right nor to the left, but you shall have that assurance in your heart that you have desired, and you shall set your face as a flint upon the things of the Lord, and no other voice, the voice of the demonic, the voice of loved ones, the voice of well-meaning friends or family or those who have been sent of the enemy, none shall deflect you or turn you aside, for you shall stay the course, you shall stay in the path that I have called you to walk, you shall go forth in courage, and you shall not tremble in fear, and you shall not hesitate, but you shall walk in a holy boldness and confidence that I even now would impart to you. Open up your heart to receive from me as I impart that assurance, says the Lord. Father, right now, in the few remaining moments, I pray, Lord, for the spirit of faith, that spirit of that knowledge, that knowing, Lord, that you are directing their paths, that they won't stumble, they won't fall, they won't make a mistake. Father, thank you for that peace, that assurance, right now, to be given to them in the name of Jesus. I praise you and I thank you for it. Praise God. Well, we got sidetracked by the Holy Spirit, but that's all right, I trust. He can do that anytime on this broadcast. I thank you for joining me, and tomorrow we'll pick up at the same time, and we're going to learn some important things about mountains, things that are going to pertain to your life and all of our lives, because we're children of God, pilgrims in this earthly valley that we walk through, but a time is coming when we shall stand on the heights of Zion. Praise God. Our eyes shall see that land that is very far off right now. Praise God. Well, enough. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.